I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 232, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah!
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Is that still right, Miles?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Same shit.
It's Tuesday, April 12th, 2022, which of course means that it is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with National just grilled cheese on a frying pan day.
Griddled cheese skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I made some of that yesterday by accident. Oh. Tried to make some cheeseburgers in a frying pan, and it ended up with just a slop of grilled cheese without the sandwich. Also, it's National Only Child Day.
Hey!
Hey!
Shouts to the only children out there.
The lonely ones.
The lonely ones, yep.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know how I consider it? Everybody is my sibling.
Yeah,
that's
some of some of the best people in the world,
and some of the worst too.
And know? Yeah,
it cuts both ways too.
Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka Me and You, drinking piss mixed with Mountain Dew, chewing on some Trident gum, coming up slamming Nicorette gum. That's courtesy of Alex Lugie. Yeah, we're still drinking piss out here. We're still drinking Mountain Dew. I've been gone for 2 weeks, but you know. I kept the tradition strong, and I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by, to see my co-host, Mr. Sorry, there's a guest in there because, you know, I read everything on the prompter.
Burgundy style, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Jack, they don't love you like you love do, Jack. They don't love you like you love do, Jack, 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 Jack. Wait, because they don't love you like you love do. Okay, shout out to Old Ghost on the Discord for that. Yeah, inspired AKA because, yeah, so last week we learned that that song Maps is now 19 years old.
Whoa.
Just to kind of put your body through that. fucking time machine real Damn. Quick. I hate to say that to y'all. It's been 19 years since we were all singing that with tears in our eyes. So anyway, good to have you back, though, man.
Oh, thank you. So yeah. good to be back.
Yeah.
Do you ever see Yeah Yeah Yeahs live?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah Only yeah yeah, 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 yeah. Not Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
No, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. I've seen them about 3 times, 4 times.
I feel like that is the average for people in our sort of 5-year age range. I think I saw them 2 times, and I'm one under the average. I still
yeah,
need
no.
To...
It's like a two times minimum if you're like yeah. 35 plus, I feel like.
I heard Gabrus talking about seeing them at McCarran Park, like, back in the day, and I was like, damn, man, I was at that show. There's just a certain age group of people
right.
who all
and
were...
like when we were going to a lot of shows or festivals, they were like mainstays. So if you ever the chances were if you went to like a bigger festival, they were also on the bill. So you're always getting your Karen O fill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat
yes.
by a very talented writer, host, actress, who you've seen in Sci-Fi's The Great Debate and Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh,
no big deal. And who's written for the CW's The Girls on the Bus, Netflix's Incarnate, and HBO Max's More. She also co-authored stories about Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy for DC's upcoming Pride mm-hmm. Month anthology. It is the brilliant, the hilarious Danny Fernandez!
Yes! You'll get caught up in the Dan Fire. Ooh. Dan Fire.
Damn. Woo.
Did y'all have
we
that? I wanted that game so bad. Crossfire.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that? That song has been stuck in my head for like 25 years.
There was, oh man, this is so funny. There was this back in the era when like YouTube sketches were like our social currency. I remember there was a mockumentary about Crossfire that I thought was so funny. It was about these guys who were lamenting that their friend had in fact got caught up in the crossfire.
You don't recover from some shit like that, you know?
Nah.
I feel like I need to look up, because I could have sworn they announced a film, but I thought it was maybe just an Onion article, like making fun of all of the board games that they're like making into films.
Right. I know that also sounds strangely like accurate. Let me see. Crossfire.
Also, I want to say whoever gave you my credits was like, we're going to make sure that everything she's ever done.
We're thorough.
I appreciate it. I want to say I really, really appreciate it.
Good.
But I was like, oh my gosh, who, who looked me up?
You know what? It's not,
Thank you.
Not the Crossfire we grew up with. It's a different, it's a video game. So.
Okay. Oh, and not the Tucker Carlson, Paul Begala Crossfire.
No.
Which was loosely based on the board game. I feel like Crossfire, that game, which is not really a board game, more of a, what do you even call those?
It was like
parlor game?
Yeah, it was like tabletop fun. Like, it was like if Hungry Hungry Hippos were setting you up to be more accepting of the military industrial complex. Crossfire.
That's right.
And you were probably more into like conservation if you played Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, just get it. Secure the balls, you hungry hippos. That sounded weird, but Crossfire, I feel like, was one of the products that most lived up to its hype. I did get it. I still remember my aunt and uncle who got it for me, like how old I was, the house we lived in, like just playing it. That shit was so dope.
Sounds nice. Danny and I over here.
Must have been nice. That's great. Thank you.
What would our lives... Danny would have probably... I mean, you're already doing well. Shit, who knows? You probably would have been the fucking president if you got president. Crossfire.
Look at that. If I had just gotten Crossfire.
So. Yeah, exactly. Now I'm settling for creating really great comic book IP, but fine. I guess I'll take that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What could have been?
Yeah. All right, Danny, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're talking about billionaires, baby. They're our newest rock star, or at least they want to be. So we got Elon Musk tanking and, you know, the Twitter stock living and dying with him. There was also, like, the New York Times Magazine was dedicated to billionaires, and it's all just a real head fuck for me. So I wanted to go through that. And then we're going to talk about the Gerber baby, all of that, plenty more. And also just Gerber baby food and how delicious it is.
Yeah.
Before we get to any of it, Danny, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Oh my gosh. mine for my search history was twin flames, signs and numbers. Very into, are you aware of the concept of twin flames, Jack?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Okay. You're into all these theories. I wasn't. No, it's basically like your soulmate. Your twin flame is like basically your soulmate. Okay. And so I follow, I have like an app and not relating to soulmates, but just like basically looking out for signs when you're trying to manifest. So not just a soulmate. You guys are both making faces at me right now.
I'm trying to process what I'm hearing.
Reading up on it.
Well, the concept of a twin flame, basically your other half, like the person that you're meant to be with. To me, I feel like I've done so much healing at a point that I don't want anyone that isn't like at the same level as me.
For sure.
They'll probably just be alone forever.
See, not if you talk like that. See, now you're messing
up. I'm kidding. But anyways, I'm very into signs and numbers, and I see them all the time. Like, I was taking a flight, and the flight, it was going to land, it was 3 hours and 33 minutes, and, like, it left at 3:33. It was, like, very fascinating. Okay. Like, stuff like that. I screenshot it all the time. The car in front of me, the license plate had 777. And on the podcast I was listening to, they were literally like, and you divide it by 777. And I was just like, they were talking about NFTs or some shit. And it happened like right when I was looking at it. So I'm very into that.
Yeah.
That is an insight into my head.
I had a weird thing where I was watching Nightmare Alley with Bradley Cooper while also watching. So I was watching that on my phone while the NCAA tournament was on. And at one point, the movie synced up with the game, and it was North Carolina. It was the second round when they were playing Baylor. And they both said Hubert at the same time because that was the coach of UNC. And that was also a character's name in Nightmare Alley. And I was like, fuck it. I'm betting it all on UNC. Like, I didn't have the follow through, but I wish I had, because UNC went to the title game, even though they were like a 9 seed. But I was like, man, sometimes this shit really, like, I don't believe in it, but like sometimes I'm like, but I mean, come on, that shit. So something happened there.
Gave you a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're sports betting, you need signs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll take signs that don't even make sense. I'm like, that's a sign, so I'm going to put all this money here.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll change my future.
Sports is where I engage in the sort of magical thinking that I make fun of in, like, Republicans, where I'm just like, yeah. Like, I will believe the wildest shit there.
Like your Sixers hat?
What? No, the Sixers hat actually works. That is empirically proven that when I wear my Sixers hat, they lose. So just don't wear it. They are going to lose in the first round, but that's okay.
I feel you. We got Abrahat Hicks over here.
So, wow. But I don't want to get off of twin flames, because I think that is a beautiful concept.
Does twin flames mean that there's only one, or like, is philosophically, can you have multiple flames?
Okay, so
there?
I personally believe that you have multiple soulmates, but they're not there for your entire life. There's something also kind of like someone who's supposed to help you karmically get to where you're supposed to. So like, let's say,
going through some shit.
Yeah. Or even if you dated someone and it like ended horribly, but you learned a lot of things and you were like, well, I know now what I don't want and I'm not going to settle for that, or I'm not, you know, or something that spurred you into like, fuck it, I'm going to finally sit down and do this work and hold myself accountable and whatever, to actually find the person that I want to find. Then you find, to me, your twin flame.
Gotcha.
Now, if you're someone listening like, that'll never fucking happen, then yeah, it'll never fucking happen. I totally believe in those things. I don't know if y'all saw my tweet. It was my wishing wall. It was like from 2013. It was almost a decade ago. I had made a little wishing wall. I lived in an apartment with two other girls in a one bedroom. We were so poor. Ooh. We were definitely one of them was a musician, and we were very much like, we're going to make it with stars in our eyes and whatever. And so we all had a wishing wall. We wrote down what we wanted. And on my wishing wall, it said to write television, to get a literary agent. It was like all of the things on my wall came true.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe if I were like, this will never happen, it wouldn't happen. You have to you have to like radically believe that it'll happen. You have to like almost stupidly. That's why we see so many stupid people out here doing well.
I mean,
because they just stupidly fully believe that they can and they do.
Yeah. Intention setting is like very, very important because it really does. It sets you up in your subconscious to begin to be focusing on something like, you know, I've tried to set intentions like that of like, there's something different when you put pen to paper too.
Yes.
When you write something out to say, I am going to do this rather than talking shit, like I'm going to do it. There's just something that happens when you sort of intentionally sort of begin to express those things. So yeah, I feel like you got to set your intentions. And yeah, to your point, perception is reality at the end of the day. So if you are out here saying, you know, believe that everything's not going to go your way, you're typically probably going to be existing in a reality where you're focused on all the things that aren't going
your
way when they could be actually going your way. But it's really just about how you're setting your perception up. But yeah,
it's the confirmation bias. If you think like everything always goes wrong for me, we could all every single day name all the things that go wrong for us. We just don't often. It takes work to focus on the things that are going well and to try to like map those out and accumulate those. And over time, even me, I'm so past those goals now. Now, when I look back, when I found that in like a bunch of paperwork I had, I was like, oh my God, these are not my goals at all. And right. They feel small because I accomplished them years ago. But this was my huge goals and dreams. So yeah. I think we just never look back at our old goals and realize that we did achieve several of them.
And give yourself some props too for that.
I'm impressed that you use magical thinking to achieve your like life's goals, and I used it to almost make a bet on North Carolina Tar Heels that I didn't make, and they didn't even win the title. Anyways, what is something you think is overrated?
Yo, we all know this, but I just feel like I need to say this. Playing devil's advocate. I still see it so much. It's so not necessary. The devil doesn't need advocates. And also, I feel like anytime someone engages with me to play devil's advocate, I feel they get to walk away. And it's not something that I get to walk away from. A lot of times it's my identity or issues that, you know, queer women of color are going through that I'll be speaking about. And then that person's like, well, to play devil's advocate, you know, even liberals. I'm telling you, liberals and even people in the queer community, specifically white queer people, I feel like often do that to me. And it's just like, that's a game a lot of times that you get to walk away from that normally the person that you're playing with doesn't get to. So
it's like, I'm just wearing an asshole shaped costume right now. And I will do my assholeness, but then I will shed that and I'll go on with my day. And I'll be like, well, no, that was just me wearing a costume back there playing devil's advocate. Because I mean, I think the only times it may be constructive is if you're maybe bringing up like the one point people are avoiding where that sentiment comes out, where you're expressing it, but not in the sense of like the most hardcore thing of being like, let me completely contradict your point and speak it as fact under the guise of playing devil's advocate. But yeah, that's true. That's when you do that, it does give you like sort of a temporary identity as a piece of shit if you want to on social media.
And there's also just so much like, you know, violence, like with words on social media, that it like you need to really trust someone to like have that conversation. I think when it's somebody who is like you've earned the right to have that conversation, that's fine. If like you're at a place where you could be like, all right, I'm going to say this, but I don't mean it. And like very clear boundaries are set ahead of time. But it's just the internet and social media have like fucked it up for you to just be able to come in fucking half cocked and just be like, yo, like, what if I said this? And it's like, well, you just said that and that's hurtful.
No, I'm saying what if? No, it's not hypothetical at this point.
My favorite is when people are like, well, if I said that, I would be in trouble. I'm like, you would. Good thing that I said it. I'm like, good thing you didn't say it. Okay, you're right.
So you're somewhat smart enough to understand what's going on here. But I'm just saying.
What's something you think is underrated?
I love that I'm like being serious because normally my answers are like a goofy movie, Good Burger, which I still think are Batman and Robin. I also want to say underrated. Underrated, not here. I'm on a kick today, y'all. So thank you for giving me this platform. Not replying to tweets that don't relate to you. Like, I feel so many times people will tweet me. We're talking about me. I will just say me. I'll tweet something and I'm like, for those that this resonates with. And then I'll have something about hanging in or writing or writer's block or whatever. And people will respond and be like, not for me though. And I'm like, there's literally the first part of the sentence says, for those this resonates with. And I put it on the front of like so many of my tweets so people don't respond to me. And and I think it's societal. I don't think it's just Twitter, although I think that that adds to it. But like, for the love of God, you have such limited time on this planet. Like, just keep scrolling. If I can impart something to you this week, instead of arguing, like, just fucking keep scrolling. It's exhausting being on this planet. Like, you don't need to. Jack, you look, your look on your face. I'm done. That is my thing. Underrated. Keeping your thoughts to yourself.
Yeah. Texting about it. He's like, damn, I could have some replies. I could have.
Hey, babe. Sorry. That's what I just texted.
Yeah. It's there. I mean, like, to that point, there's just something like when people do shit like that, you're like, why do you think you need my attention in this situation? Or why are you? Because that's what it is. You're trying to be like, hey, hi. Me, the person this isn't resonating with, just want to let you know, not resonating with me.
Yeah, exactly. Also, that's what they do.
Yeah, I have a completely different view on this because it doesn't resonate with me. So I have no idea what the thrust of your point is. Just wanted to come here to say that. Also, I'm very alone. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, many people you talk to in person, you can tell are waiting for their turn to talk, right?
Yeah.
And aren't really listening to what you're saying. And I feel like that is that instinct writ large across social media, right? It's like them just being like, that gave me a completely different idea, and this is where I'm going to put it. And because I admire this person, and I'm too close to realize this idea doesn't, like, apply to them or really have that much value.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, I think we're all very lonely too. Like, a lot of people on social media, it just social media has made us very lonely. And so, like, that's just like looking for that spark of connection in a extremely misguided way.
Yeah. There's a whole thing too for me though about accountability, where it's just like so much shit is dumped on me constantly. I feel like I have a big platform and I'm constantly trying to pull people up. You know, speaking on my own experience of the shit that I've gone through and how I survived it and got out of it. And so I talk about that a lot. And I feel like people just, I cannot pull up people also that don't want to be pulled up, that aren't ready to be, you know what I mean? It's like when I was in the thick of it, it's like, fuck you, don't say that to me. Don't know, I don't have any hope. But like, that's why I started to start my tweets that way, is like for whoever needs to hear this. Clearly, it's not you. You're not there yet. You don't want to hear it. You don't, whatever. So I encourage you to keep scrolling past this. Because there is someone out there who needs to hear it in that moment. Going back to signs, sometimes I'll open Twitter. Literally had this happen where I was like spiraling off my ass, having a really hard time. And I asked for a specific sign, opened Twitter, and it was like it was like right there. It was the first tweet. And so sometimes
it's like Luke
people
Cage is following you.
What?
You're like, oh shit. Get me winning over here.
It was a wolf. That's one of my signs is a wolf. And I have wolves. I'll have to show you on our break. I have wolves all over my place. And I have a Tex Avery wolf, his iconic like big mouth with his like beating heart wolf lamp right next to me. But anyways, I was having a really hard time, got some like really bad news, and I asked to see a wolf. I opened Twitter, and Chase Mitchell, who's a writer, he had randomly in the middle of summer tweeted a video of a wolf, like, and damn, it was the first thing I saw. And I remember thinking, like, fuck, now I gotta hang in. God damn it.
Fucking wolf, get out of here.
God damn it.
Get out of here, yeller. You can't. it feels like, you know, what people look like when they chime in on a thing where you're very clearly setting up with the caveat, if this resonates with you, that's like somebody walking into like a church and be like, just so you know, I'm not Catholic. So whatever's going on in here doesn't apply to me. I'm not interested. And thank you. Okay. Please go on with whatever y'all are doing here on this Sunday morning. I will take my leave. You're like, what the fuck was that for? That's like, you just had to keep it moving. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what you had to do.
Yes.
Damn. That far away look in my eye, by the way, that you were like, what is it? I was just realizing I have to watch Batman and Robin now.
Oh, so good.
Okay. I know. I always avoided it.
The Joel Schumacher Batman and Robin?
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Isn't that Joel Schumacher? It's great. George Clooney?
Yeah.
No, George Silverstone?
Alicia?
Very familiar with it. Just never got around to watching
Chris
it. Chris
O'Donnell?
I heard was so bad. Yeah, the Chris O'Donnell of it all.
Yeah.
Anyways. It's very underrated. It's such a comic book movie. Like, I'm like, have you read comics? They are campy. They are corny. That's how they are. Like, go pick up one. I'm writing one. Mine is sexy, I want to say. But, like, the dialogue, it's all very campy. Comic books are campy, especially from that time. And so it was very much a comic book come to life. And when I was little, I thought it was cool as shit. So. Yeah.
And I was raised on Adam West Batman.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yes, that was a campground.
Yeah.
Fucking Batman. I was like, yeah, this is why I fuck with it. Also, that Batman and Robin soundtrack, I won that shit at my block party. And I remember that was 97. Oh, we had a block party. And one of the things for winning the like egg on a spoon race was you got a free Batman and Robin CD. Whoa. And I remember so many of the songs on that. There was a Bone Thugs and Harmony song. Ooh. Look into my eyes and tell me what it is. Man. Say less about Batman and Robin.
You won the egg spoon race, huh?
Oh fuck yeah.
That's some steady handed shit.
Oh,
right there.
You knew it. The way I was stabilizing with my like you thought I was speed walking, getting that fucking trying to get that soundtrack. And then I won the three-legged race with my neighbor and got a fucking $5 Blockbuster Music gift card.
Wow.
Get at
Blockbuster
me.
Music?
Yes.
Blockbuster
they used music? To have what the fucking that? Music side of it from
I think people I remember, who remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. And you could rent music? Is that what it was?
You had to
no,
turn
it was like
it
a shitty
in.
Record store.
Oh, yeah, okay, you would get like a CD or something? Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was like them trying to be like, hey man, like we can do like Virgin Megastore type shit.
Wow. Do you remember their final push in their old day, in their like final days when they had like slushy machines and like they were bringing all this like smoothies and all of this stuff there when you would go in?
Hey kids, you like sugar, right?
Yeah.
Get over
it. It was like
here.
When my grandfather started wearing cross colors in the 90s. And we were like, you ain't got to do that, grandpa. Leave that for the young folks.
Oh, I think cross colors are for everyone. I'm glad.
I was like, bro, you with these like black and green and yellow fucking overalls? Grandpa, come on. Like, I know you saw that at the end of In Living Color because Keenan Ivory Wayans was wearing that outfit, but like, all right, do you, grandpa.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really.
Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And we're back. And so I was out of the country for a little while. So I got back over the weekend and spent Sunday catching up on my stories. And by that, I mean, what are my billionaires up to, you guys? Elon Musk.
How they doing?
Elon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like a weird, like the New York Times magazine was all about billionaires. And there's like all these news alerts about like fucking what Elon Musk is going to do to Twitter. And it just, I don't know. I was like, fuck, this is our country. But yeah. So I don't know. Just like, I guess the update, the news hook for this is that Elon Musk had bought a controlling interest in Twitter and then has announced, I guess it was Monday morning, that he would not be joining the board. But like the way the incentive structure is set up is when it was announced he had a controlling interest, Twitter stock shot up. And when it was announced that he wasn't going to take a seat on the board, it went down temporarily. I don't know where it's at right now. The CEO was like, it's okay. We still welcome his ideas. I'm going to talk to him all the time. So it's all good. But I just feel like we are in this world, like this is like who grownups treat the way that like boy bands were when I was an adolescent were treated by adolescent children. It's like mm-hmm. they are just idolized and it's just like there's a projection of like hopes and dreams and, you know, blamelessness and coolness onto these people that are not blameless and are not cool.
Right.
Not cool.
I think it just indicates though, like how sick our society is when we're idolizing people whose whole like identity is based on extracting as much wealth out of the planet as possible, not having any kind of like not a single real altruistic bone in their body. And we're like, this is so lit, y'all. And we're not actually even examining the origins of the wealth. We're just accepting that it is what it is and not doing the accounting of those dollars and say, how many shattered fucking souls are there because of the wealth that isn't there to, whether that's employment because jobs have moved or lack of pay equity or whatever, what have you, that's a, you know, ends up being the byproducts of having these kinds of like oligarchs. And yeah, we're just here being like,
I feel like we've always, I mean, we have more billionaires now though, So, but I feel like we've always been the society and especially like entertainment or whatever, like they've always been super capitalistic, always been like, you know, it used to be seen as something to strive to be like a millionaire, or billionaire mm-hmm. or whatever. Now I see it's pivoted in a way of like, save us. Does that make sense? Like it's, I get the rock star portion of it, of thinking like basically when you have like an MVP athlete or somebody that is, I just see us pivoting now as like, oh, you have the money to save us without realizing like you're also the reason why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're also the reason why we are dealing with so much climate change, what like these huge corporations and companies and the people that run them. But I do see this whole, I mean, Elon has the capacity to end homelessness in this country. Like it's wild that he tweeted about, oh, we should turn, what do you say, the Twitter headquarters into a homeless shelter because nobody goes there anyways, which I agree with.
Yeah, sure.
But he has the, like, why are you just tweeting these things and then instead of actively doing them?
Yeah. I think, and that's what makes him such an unlikable person to me, which is he just posits these things as if he couldn't do them. And you're like, here's the difference, motherfucker. You actually have the fucking capital to act out these things that you're just throwing out as like these, like, wouldn't it be fucking weird if, but we're looking at, that's like going to dinner with somebody who's like just won the lotto. And they're like, oh, let's go out to eat to celebrate. And then the check comes and you're at like fucking Outback. And he's like, okay, so what y'all putting in? And it's like, you.
Yeah, exactly.
You have all, the fuck are you talking about? Like, you look fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's also just chaotic. Like the stuff he chooses to, it's just at the whim, at his whim. You know, the thing that he chose to get like really drill down on the details of was like that cave rescue of those kids in the cave. And then the person was like, yo, your submarine would not fucking fit through the cave. And he was like, you're a pedophile. It's like,
yeah. Oh,
he chooses to drill down in the details of that, fuck it up, of course. But like, then, you know, when there are actual things that he could do with his immense wealth, like that's just not interesting to him. He'd rather smoke weed with fucking.
And
Joe,
I think another
Joe
thing just to point out about the Twitter thing is like he didn't report this to the SEC for 11 days. So he basically, you know, earned like almost like $150 million or a little over $150 million on profit by not saying anything.
Because he knows that his name's going to then like.
Yeah, because you're benefit. Yeah, exactly. And you're already holding. So the SEC is like, you know, they're basically saying, oh, yeah, we need to look at that. And so, yeah, he could face a fine. But we know what the fuck is a fine to somebody who has this kind of wealth anyway. So there's just so much of like operating outside of the normal bounds that you see, too, with, you know, just all of his actions.
I'm curious, I guess, his game plan of like he bought this stock and then he immediately tweeted, is Twitter dying? Right. Like when he, you know, same with him tweeting that the Tesla stock was too high and then it plummeted.
Yeah. That's some shit that like, I'm sure the thing I know he's good at is finding ways to like manipulate markets to make a lot of money. He's apparently the best at it because he's the richest person in the world. But I don't know. Like, so like they had this article, the New York Times Magazine had this article all about, or this, the whole magazine was all about American billionaires and their influence. And one of them, Danny, to your point about this not being necessarily new, was reviewing the literature of billionaire autobiography. But they were pointing out that, like, there's, you know, the Horatio Alger thing is largely like, when we talk about Horatio Alger, like, which is like the late 19th century, I think that's when it was, but like the stories of like young orphans, penniless, who like pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's actually about like, usually they have a wealthy benefactor who like likes them because they're cute and like treats them nicely in that way, which is like definitely by far closer to the truth than the idea that you could just like, you know, peddle your elbow grease into a multi-billion dollar fortune. But
right.
But they also just look at like, you know, the biographies of like one of the Koch brothers and T. Boone Pickens. And, you know, then they connect it to apparently 50 Shades of Grey, like created an entire genre that is like the most burgeoning genre in literature. And it's basically hot billionaire romance. Like, it's like where a young hot billionaire is like comes through and there's
save me from my husband and kids.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And these
save
bills.
Me from my Peloton class and just sweep me off my feet.
Yeah.
And do very plain vanilla sex with me.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's this article that bummed me out, like they called it The Philosopher King. And it's just about this German he's not German. He was raised in France, but he's like a billionaire and he's decided like he's interested in philosophy. So he's like created all this like philosophy institute with like all the great thinkers of the modern world and academia. And it's just like a flex. It's just like taking all the best thinkers and being like, look, now you have to talk to me. And it's like kind of harmless. They definitely try and make, like, there's photographs of him where they're trying to make him look like David Bowie. Like, he's just like chilling, and they're like, he used to be called the homeless billionaire because he like sold his houses and just lived out of mere hotel rooms and private jets for a while.
Oh, so he
truly
just
a heroic.
Have a permanent housing situation. But was it okay? I see.
But then it ends with them asking him, like, so what do you think of like redistributing your wealth? And he's like, nah, you know, I just don't think it's the best way to do
it. Not much. I don't think much about it, to be honest.
Yeah, to be frank, I'm too busy thinking about existence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yes. Yeah, so it's just all, it's a comprehensively bleak picture. Like the, yeah, I guess the one missing ingredient is like, the government has shown that they let corporations, like the corporation is the ultimate actor that they will like not fuck with. And it seems like the corporations are now answering to these like rock star billionaire people. I'm just like, if the government could ever get around to switching back to a world like the earlier 20th century where they actually taxed these motherfuckers and, you know, maybe, I don't know. But it seems like we're not headed in that direction anytime soon.
Nah.
I have a question when it comes to how y'all feel about accumulating wealth. I was just gonna add, like, I know, I feel that we all agree there are no good billionaires. Do you agree that way too, as well as millionaires? And by that I mean, like, at what point when you come from homelessness, like we hear these stories with athletes or even authors or people that have come from horrific traumatic childhoods that literally did pull themselves up to a point. At what point do you become a villain, or are people no longer rooting for you? I feel like us being in entertainment, I think about this a lot.
Yeah,
as I'm right. In my tiny apartment, which is like not anything. I have not accumulated wealth at all. I still owe a shit ton of student loans. But I feel like there's a level that you reach where people are root, like, why aren't they bigger yet? Why aren't they bigger? And then once they get there, all of a sudden now you're not. I just personally don't. I personally feel like, especially when it comes to people of color, like there's no amount of money that can undo childhood trauma, can undo like things that you grew up with and the horrific things that you might have experienced. And like, I see a lot of people that do end up pumping that money back into their communities. And yet when they complain, like one person that just comes to mind is, say, LeBron. And anytime he says anything, I feel the comments are always like, oh, boo-hoo, you fucking millionaire, like go whine in your mansion.
Right.
I'm super curious about the cognitive dissonance, or like, I don't know. I would love to hear your thoughts.
I think it's because everyone has a simmering resentment for the wealthy. Just in general.
Right. If you don't.
Yeah. If you are struggling, if you live paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you are somewhat financially stable and you feel that you can get more, I think there is just this like human nature thing of, especially now because the inequality is so fucking severe and in everyone's faces, that it's really hard to look at someone who you, from your place, you say, they have a probably problem-free life because of the means that they have, that motivates people to then say, you don't get to complain because you have your finance, like you're wealthy. And I think when people hear that who don't have things, like that's the first thing that like sort of resonates with them is like, well, if I had money, I wouldn't be fucking complaining ever. Right. And it comes out like that very reflexively. Like for me, where things cross the line is where your pursuit of accumulating wealth is directly connected with like decision making that, you know, is going to put other people at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And you know that by saying, well, I'd rather shoot, you know, if you're in film or something, you'd say, I actually don't want to shoot there because I like being in this part better. And they're saying, well, actually, like we have this whole crew that we're working with, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I'd rather shoot it in Europe than in this place or whatever. And now those people are losing a job because of maybe something very personal to you. I mean, whatever, what have you. But I think the bigger thing is when you have people who make these decisions on behalf of their companies that are either moving the operations, downsizing and things like that, so you can begin to find other ways to, you know, make your stock price perform or what have you. But I think it is, there's just like, we just don't, because everybody's so aware of inequality, it's just a bad time to be very visible and wealthy and like have a take.
Yeah. To have a take. No, that's true. I just thought that, you know, weeks ago I wasn't on for, I'm sure you guys had this discussion, but like even with the stuff that happened to Ryan Coogler, I'm like, no amount of money protects you from I just don't, there's just a conversation. I understand the conversation with wealth. I just think that a lot of times people think, oh, once you're rich, that's it. No problems now.
Right.
Like, you know, and it just doesn't, I don't think that any amount of money can undo some of the racial harm that people have and continue to experience.
Oh, well, yeah, that, I mean, that's a certainty.
Yeah.
You know? No, but those are the comments that you see. So anyways, not to take us on a tangent, I just was curious at like what point you think it flips that people would be rooting for you. Why is any bigger? Why is any bigger? And then once you're bigger, it's like, well, fuck you for complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's you kind of have to I feel like you have to look at what they like. The reason I brought up the Philosopher King article is because the shit that like they're talking about is all like he surrounds himself with really interesting philosophers. He gives out $1 million each year to like somebody who has the most interesting philosophical ideas. I was just reading the whole thing being like, wait for it. Wait for it. When's he going to say the thing that is like his belief that he deserves to have billions of dollars and that, you know, like basically by existing and like by, you know, having these beliefs about like keeping wealth concentrated the way it is, like he is doing active harm. So like that's, you know, if he had like come out and been like, and here's my like 12-step plan to redistribute like all my wealth and, you know, like get... pull people up and like I would have been, you know, I want to be open-minded. I want a solution to this problem. I don't want it to just be like, well, fuck all any category of people. But it just feels like there is a poisoning that happens when you get to that level because you are only around other people who are either trying to grow your wealth or trying to grow their wealth, but via yours. And like it just I think it can be somewhat crazy making and it's just bad for society.
I feel like, you know, well, it's not that it'll happen, but if we just need to agree upon a number
where, so I agree you know, I also think there's this thing that I learned about the old school wealthy that always gives me a little bit of hope. The old school, like the Vanderbilts and shit like that, they had a policy to never like outwardly show any wealth, never like, you know, build the walls high so nobody could see like what your house looked like and shit. Because there was this thing where like you, like there's this analysis of class in America that's like you are aware of the class directly above you and directly below you, and you generally don't like them or look down on them. And then everything else is like you don't really know that it exists. And so for the vast majority of Americans, for the vast majority of the history of the country, billionaires did not exist because they just kind of hid and put their name on colleges and, you know, art institutes and shit. But now that there's transparency and there's this like, I'm going to be a rock star side of it. Like, it gives me some hope that we will eventually eat Elon Musk, but
I don't know. Our tastes are souring a bit to it.
Then. Yeah. Like,
yeah, then being like, yo, shut the fuck up, bro. Keep that shit low.
Right.
Keep that shit
low. Like, the Vanderbilts are like, you know, scoffing down there or whatever the fuck they wear on their face at Elon Musk. They're like, you know, that is foolish by their standards, but I don't know. Maybe he's just evolved it to a new level because people still seem to. They don't give him the type of shit they give LeBron, I'll tell you that much. No clue why that could be.
Yeah, no, there's literally nothing different between
quick
the two
melanin check.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back, and it is that time again that I didn't know was an annual time of year, but apparently it is. Gerber has announced their annual contest to find the next Gerber baby, which, I don't know,
it
seems a little lazy, right?
Well, I just, like you were pointing out earlier, the way they even are out here trying to court new potential Gerber baby contestants, candidates. Look at quick. They're looking for candidates that have a, quote, playful smile that can light up a room, as well as, quote, an irresistible giggle, an undeniably lovable personality. And also, they're looking for a spokes baby that is an infant or a baby 4 years old or younger.
Yo, so let me just read directly. Does your baby have the best smile or an adorable giggle? If so, they may qualify to be the next Gerber baby. Qualify is such a weird word there. It's like you might qualify for like tax relief, or you might qualify for...
Right, for this class action lawsuit.
This, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just keep it real nice and clean and yeah. You may qualify to give us your baby.
Yes. So
for $25,000.
Please give us your baby to make new IP for a company. Hmm. This baby is actually your baby's face is now our intellectual property. Fuck out of here, sucker.
So, I mean, the original Gerber baby, this goes back to that original Gerber baby from 1928 that, like, I think if I wasn't looking at a picture of the baby's face, I could still, like, close my eyes and, like, kind of picture it. That's iconic, right? The Gerber baby?
Yeah.
It's like a charcoal sketch, but...
Right.
So... It started with a contest in 1928, and it was for artist drawings because nobody had a fucking camera, and a charcoal sketch ended up winning, and they didn't reveal the identity of the baby or, I guess, the artist until 1928, so 50 years later. But there were apparently, like, before we were alive, the things that they had conspiracy theories about were things like, I heard the Gerber baby was Humphrey Bogart. Or I heard the Gerber baby was Bob Dole.
Yeah, what the fuck
is
that?
How fucking bored do you have to be for that to even Like, if you told me that and it was true, it would immediately fall out of my brain. Like, the second you told me that.
Yeah, you look at that and you're like, that's Bob Dole, if I've ever seen it.
Also, this baby looks like borderline like anime. Like, the eyes are so big. It's one of the most beautiful babies I've, you know, you've ever seen. Bob Dole, I don't know. Bob Dole was not hit me with those beepers. Yeah. The whole conversation reminds me of like the sketches in I Think You Should Leave with you know, Sam Richardson and like those the little bodybuilders and the
right. Look at them. They're goosed, man. These kids are goosed. Got goose suits on.
Got goose suits. But anyways, it turned out that that baby was not Humphrey Bogart or Bob Dole, but some random woman whose family lived next to the artist when she was a baby. Now, if it had turned out to be Humphrey Bogart or Bob Dole, okay, that would have suggested a level of Illuminati control to the point that they have plucked this five-month-old baby from obscurity and been like, we already know that this baby is going to be powerful. You might as well put this baby on your baby food thing. Like, it's such a wild conspiracy, dude.
Right. Humphrey Bogart. I mean, look, that's the beauty of having rumors in 1978. There's no internet.
Yeah.
And you can just get shit going. Like, you can just be a drunk guy and be like, you want to know? Shut the fuck up. You want to know who the fucking Humphrey baby is? Come here, man. It's fucking Humphrey Bogart, man. Just don't sell anybody. Like, okay.
The model never got a penny until.
What?
Until it was revealed that she never got a penny. And then they helped her buy a house.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
I guess it was. The baby was paid in 1950. When she was trying to buy a house with her husband, who just got back from World War II, should be noted, was no longer a baby at that point.
Yeah.
Due to the passage. I'm trying to start
a life with my husband. And then the even more fucked up part was they only did it because someone else was trying to claim that it was them that was the Gerber baby. Like some other fucking fraudster was like, hey, run me my Gerber money. I'm the Gerber baby. And they're like, man, this. All right, I guess now we're going to have to admit to this other woman she's the Gerber baby because she's actually asking for less than this person.
It's like a fucked up paternity suit.
Right.
Who's judging? That's what I want to know. Like, who's judging? Who's on the board?
Yeah, pre-DNA. Like, who is just, like, holding up the picture, being like, nah, that ain't you.
Or no, you mean but also who's on the today, board, who selects?
Oh, look, who selects the babies today?
NBC, hit me up. This could be a thing, all right? This is your next... Like,
this is a good question. In
you have
meeting,
to get Danny because any other... Me. If it's just a group of, like, unnamed people, I am picturing the creepiest motherfuckers in the world.
The weirdest people.
Like, they're dance moms or, like, toddlers in tiaras. Like on steroids, being like, or that like, baby sucks.
The creepy that old man ugly neighbor from Family Guy. Like,
it's me. It's Kelly Clarkson. It's Alicia Keys.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Wait, didn't Kelly Clarkson change her name?
Did she?
I think so.
No.
Sorry to be like so pop culture. Wait. Who
it's me. Who else is in there? Jamil. Also Terry. I don't know. Every single person that's on those. All of the America's Got Talent, American Idol, Masked Singer.
Howard Stern for some reason pops in every once in a while.
She's now Kelly Brianne. That's right. Thank you, Becca.
Is she?
Yeah. She just goes by Kelly Brianne.
Did she change the name of her show?
I don't know.
Because
no, not sure.
When?
Anyways, it's me. It's Nick Lachey.
Yeah. I like this.
Thank you.
But here's the thing, right? If you actually took this seriously, because I think you take it seriously and you'd want it to be like, well, how do we equitably discern which of these fantastic contestants has a, like, these seem like such intangible qualities, like an irresistibly adorable laugh and lovable personality.
It's weird. There is no version of this unless you are doing it on TV in front of people and the people are like talented and funny and not chosen for their like keen eye for baby cuteness or whatever the fuck like qualifies you to be on the board to judge this. It's going to
just roast them.
Yeah, just be like,
you know, just fucking make a comedy show out of it and being like, yo, we about to flame the fuck out of these Gerber babies.
I want the grow. I would pick like the grow. I love those babies that look like they've been here for 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the ones.
Yard stare.
Yeah.
Yes. I also am like a big past life, like reincarnation. So like the babies that come out and they're like, are you fucking kidding me? Right. I said not to come. I said I did not want to come back here.
Yeah.
And you could just see it in their face. That the should be Linda the Gerber video? Baby.
You know that little kid?
Oh, yeah. Linda look video? It.
Linda. Like,
look
Linda.
It, look it. Linda.
Linda look honey. It. Linda. Honey.
Yeah.
Baby.
No, I don't want pet pals. You're not listening.
You're not listening.
I mean, he was like, damn, I'm on my fifth fucking tour, bro.
I know. Like, for real.
Linda, I'm not going to lie, man. I don't know if you know this shit. Before this, I was a municipal bus driver that died in a fucked up accident. Okay. And I was like, that was my fourth one. And before that, I'd been crushed building the Hoover Dam.
Yo,
that baby represents America. I want the grumpy baby on all of the food.
Yeah.
Everyone would be like, yes.
Yeah, you want a baby that's like, Linda fuck baby. The millionaires.
Yeah.
In the footnotes, you can look for the Linda baby. We'll make it the first footnote because that's the only one anyone's going to actually be looking for.
Exactly.
But, and before you throw your baby onto the pile of babies that Gerber is considering, just last year, it should be noted, a congressional report revealed that there was lax testing of baby food, and brands like Gerber had dangerous levels of lead, cadmium, mercury, and inorganic arsenic.
Oh, what does that mean? Somebody dropped their arsenic bottle in the fucking mixer or some shit?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have kids. We've always insisted upon local organic arsenic in baby food. That's just a policy. We don't budge. But I don't know. Apparently the contamination of heavy metals in food, this is making me just happy to live in America. The contamination of heavy metals in food is relatively common. Larger problem in the food supply. It's just especially problematic with baby food because turns out they're a little smaller. Their brains are like doing, you know, 20 times the work that our brains are doing on any given day because they're building themselves. But yeah, it's another example. I mean, it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about this whole episode. Like, you know, that it takes a fucking train to get the fucking FDA to, you know, all to take on a company like Gerber.
Right.
But because of this report, Gerber is one of the companies being sued over this, and there's a chance that they might like have to pay out lawsuit, and so might just be a weird time to be slapping your baby's face on the Gerber bottle. But $25,000 is $25,000.
They're like, hey man, enter your child to be the next Gerber fall guy. I mean, the next Gerber baby. They're gonna be like, Your Honor, that child. I mean, that's the face of the company. I think we need to be asking this child what the fuck went down with these lax testing, you know, regimens. That's just me. Okay. Like,
I am 50-50 on whether at the outset of the judging process, if the judging is being done behind closed doors, at the outset of the judging process, somebody within the Gerber Corporation is like, guys, we need to find the cutest fucking baby because we are in trouble.
We're fucked.
We need a baby that is going to deflect the heavy metals and inorganic arsenic scandal that we're staring down the barrel of.
Where are we going to find that? I don't know. Put out feelers to everyone. Everyone? Everyone! And you're like, oh shit. Game Gary Oldman and shit.
I feel like it would be the opposite. It would be like the ugliest baby. They're like, we need sympathy. We need pity. We need like, if they start to go after us, we're like, why? Is it because our baby isn't cute enough? Is it because our baby is ugly?
Oh, because his baby has one of those helmets on with an eye patch. They're just trying to correct their eyesight. And maybe if they messed up on those documents, signing off on those more lax testing protocols, we would have caught this. But instead, y'all are coming after a child with diminished eyesight. And that is just terrible. Terrible, my honor.
Most of my friends don't have babies, but the ones that do are luckily cute because I'm not a good liar.
I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He looks like they're from Earth.
My one friend has like a child that like Her Majesty and I, when we see their daughter, we're like, how is this child so damn fucking photogenic? Like whenever they post like a picture of shit, we're like, what the fuck? is this some filtered shit?
And then when you see them in person, you say that extra because you're like, they're not even that cute. They're just photogenic, right?
Right. And I tell that to the parent. I'm like, yo, that's wild because I was just telling her on the phone, child looks, you know, is like an angel from heaven. But up close, this motherfucker pretty busted up. But that's cool, man. How y'all really manage the image. Shout outs to you.
Danny, as always, truly a pleasure having you on TDZ. Where can people find you, follow you, read you, all that good stuff?
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, MSDANIFERNANDEZ. And if my tweets resonate with you, awesome, share them. And if they don't, like, keep scrolling.
Let her know.
let me know, yes. Also, yes, so I will be in the Pride issue for DC Comics. I'm writing a sexy Harley Quinn Poison Ivy story. So that Super will be dope. Out in June during Pride.
That's
amazing. That's pretty close. Are you done with it? Or
I cannot share anything.
Okay, can you share something with me? What is it like? Because I'm sure something that you probably wouldn't have pictured yourself doing as a kid. What was it like when you're like right there at the wheel? What was the feeling of like?
I loved it because they said I could do whatever I wanted. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know me.
You know what I'm going to do.
Jessica Chen, who's my editor, hit me up. And I was like, well, I want to do this and this and this. I basically was like, what can I get away with?
Yeah.
And we were like, let's see. So I'm definitely sure I'll be doing more with them. And I really love, those are my two biggest queer icons in DC history. So I'm really honored that I get to write them, and I'm excited, and I hope everyone likes it.
Well, they're in good hands. They're in good hands.
Thank you.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Hell yeah. Y'all, this is my favorite tweet. I don't think I've talked about it on here. I always bring up a different one, but this one is about Patrick Wilson. And if you're like, I don't know who Patrick Wilson is, you do. He's the dad in Sinister in the Conjuring series. He's like the horror dad that's in a lot of these franchises. And the tweet is, it's pictures of him. This is from Skoog, Skoog. And it said, this motherfucker really said, I'm going to be in a million movies, but absolutely refused to be famous. And it's true. He's in so many movies. And Patrick Wilson responded and said, damn it, my plan has been thwarted. But that's my favorite. My favorite tweet is the one that was like, this motherfucker said, I'm going to be in every single movie and not be famous. And he is.
This is very, but like, he can't go anywhere without anyone. Like, that's got to be more annoying because
you're the guy. You're that guy.
Fuck.
You're the guy.
So many people telling you what you're from, disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's from something else that I...
Yeah, he's an Aquaman. He's in everything.
There it is.
Jack, he's in everything. He's there.
Amazing. Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, new podcast alert. Miles and Jack got mad boosty.
What?
NBA podcast. Come tune in for that. Fun NBA podcast, having good times. You know how we do it. So check that podcast out. Also, 420 Day Fiance, as usual. Some tweets I like. There are so many things that have aligned on the horror theme for whatever reason. I like three horror sort of based tweets. First one, House of Decline, at House of Decline tweeted, Western horror, it's blood guy. Japanese horror, have you ever thought about how fucked up triangles are? go deep. Another one is from Michael Benjamin at MF Benji tweeted, actors who are on, I'm sorry, this really doesn't have to do with horror, but sort of what the sentiment Danny was expressing. Actors who are on one hit TV show and made enough money to buy a house and now just randomly appear in stuff, but not anything that good. And on Instagram, they're always on vacations and having fun. Career goals. That's about it. And at Melinda Taub tweeted, movie idea, millennial couple moves into a terminally haunted house, but because of the housing shortage, they're happy to just vibe with the blood dripping down the walls, etc. Because holy shit, a house.
I feel like there's a lot of those people who were like, I was in, you know, Hill Street Blues for three seasons in the 80s, and you know, many episodes of Golden Girls, and like, they're just hanging out in LA. They always seem so fucking happy, like, for the most part. Like, they're not the ones that I've met, at least, seem like they're just doing great. They're like, yeah, dabbled in real estate for a little bit after that. Like, but
you mean becoming a landlord?
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I don't work now because of the passive income from collecting rent.
Yeah. Anyways, let's keep it going with horror. Rex at Rex Mains tweeted, I'd survive scream because I don't answer the phone ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Just the guy in the mask is like, fuck.
Knocking on the window.
They kind of, I wondered how they would tackle that in the movie, and they did, because I was like, there's no, y'all have to address this, please.
Right, right, right. Oh, in Scream 5 or 6 mm-hmm. or whatever?
Oh, they do?
Yeah, whatever. Scream
5. Right. Yeah.
So is my tweet sorry, not Jack. Valid?
Sorry. Do you like scary? You have reached the voice mailbox of fuck!
Amelia Elizalde tweeted, firefighters want you to look at them so bad. It's true, man. Those things are loud as fuck. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Man, new Action Bronson, or at least it's new to me. Yep, yep, yep. It's called Sub-Zero. And just love the name of it. Anna,
it's like a foodie.
Daniel and I were just laughing about the time we saw Bodega Boys live, and Mero told the story about how he bought drugs from a guy, a drug dealer called Sub Zero, who wore a Sub Zero mask.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like,
is the song about the Mortal Kombat
no, but
character?
Sub Zero has just been Sub Zero's been in the air. Right. So then when I saw this, I immediately just thought of this, but I'd imagine, like you're saying, probably more of a refrigerator reference. Who knows? Yeah. But anyway, it's Action Bronson, and he's back with Sub-Zero.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.